Hi, everybody. My name's Kate, as you know, and today I have with me the amazing Michelle Smith, who is the founder of Aussie Biz Chick, which is a business subscription for female entrepreneurs starting, growing, needing motivation, needing knowledge for their businesses from ground up. And I came across Michelle on social media about a year ago. Strange thing is she just hit 500 subscriptions this month, and it's just less than a year. Is that right, Michelle, that you've had the business?
Yeah, it's literally just been a year in September. So we passed a year in September. So it's crazy.
It's amazing. So what I'd really like my audience and obviously anybody listening today to get out of this is the fact that Michelle's gone from being a digital marketer and being employed by somebody to not only starting her own journey and her own business, but that has obviously forced her to go through a lot of change. She's gone through a lot of growth as well, and these opportunities and successes often look like they're a straight line, and anybody that works for themselves can tell you that they're absolutely not, and there's a lot of fear that's probably had to be overcome. And I really want Michelle to share with you guys today some of the tactics that she's used with herself to overcome those things, some of the ways that perhaps she asks for help, that she outsources, and anything else that she wants to share with my listeners, who are pretty much everybody, but also I mainly help coaches promoting their services and building higher end packages, for example, as one of the things. But I just think right now, because we're both in Victoria, Michelle in particular is in Melbourne. So right now, people dealing with job loss, dealing with massive change, we can't have too much hope and strength and courage. And I love watching people change their careers and then start an entrepreneurial journey. I just think it is the most amazing amount of courage. Mm. Michelle, do you want to start with a brief introduction of yourself or anything that I've missed?
Sure. Yeah. So as Kate said, I run a subscription box for female entrepreneurs. So we have books and stationery, as well as access to an online learning hub and an exclusive community of amazing women as well. And yeah, I started this business back actually at the height of the pandemic last year. And I remember so many people, especially at my corporate job, "You're silly to be starting a freaking business now. Like, nobody's going to buy." And I just ignored that and said, "Yeah, I'm not going to listen to that. I really believe in my product. And I found a niche that would really benefit from this type of product." And I just went with it. And I'm so glad I did, because it's completely, like you said, changed my life. I was able to quit my corporate job in 6 months since starting to really go ham at it. And now we're coming down, we just passed it, our 1 year anniversary. And I was just telling Kate before, now my partner is also about to quit his full-time job, and we're going to work both full-time on Aussie Biz Chick to make it the best service, best product it can be. And I'm so excited that Kate's brought me on here to talk about change, to talk about how I did it. So I'm so excited.
Thank you. Yeah. One of the things that, and this is a side note, maybe Michelle could run some tutorials on this herself. If she hasn't got them already, she probably already has, because they have a full digital part of their membership as well, which is great. But what attracted me to consistently be watching Michelle's material is the videos are short, sharp, they're really entertaining, they get the message across, and she tells a lot about the backstory of, here is what I'm doing, and I'm doing it in my garage in my tracksuit pants or sweatpants, as they call them in the US. And it's honest and it's real and it's entertaining. I really admire that as well, because my videos aren't so much entertaining.
Oh, probably a bit
more. No, they're more educational. I think everybody hits what they hit naturally. In terms of why you came up with this idea, and you said it really resonated with you to even create this thing, why was that? What was the reason behind that?
There was a few different things I looked at. So the first thing I knew is I liked helping people. I think if I was to start a business, I'd like something to feel that I would be fulfilled doing that. So that was kind of, I knew it was going to be something that was going to help people. The second thing I did was I researched the market to kind of find a gap in the market. And what I found was subscription boxes were really, really huge in America and in the UK. And then we're only starting to get popular down here in Australia. The pandemic definitely helped shift that. I think people were more looking for ways to get things delivered to them. People value their time a lot more now. And so the subscription box industry, I thought, was the perfect kind of first business to get into. I liked the recurring revenue model. And then I just thought, what would I like to get every month? And I'm a huge reader. I think people know that about me. I read a lot. And I thought, I'm sure there's other people like this, like me, who also, you know, when you go on Google, there's so many resources to choose from, so many books to choose from. So I just wanted to make it easier for somebody to feel like, I don't have to go and find these things. I'm just going to get them delivered to me each month. I can sit back, relax. And when it comes to me, I can enjoy it, read the books. The stationery is a fun, extra motivational bonus to help run my business. And then kind of the digital component was more, you know, if they wanted specific learning resources, that was there too, that they could do in their spare time. So really it was kind of a combination of looking at the market, but also finding something that I was going to get enjoyment out of. Because if you don't start something, you're not going to enjoy, you're not going to last and stay motivated for the entirety of building this business. So that was really, really important for me. But it was a combination of looking at the market and finding my niche and then just going with it.
Interesting. When you say you researched the market, what did you do, if you don't mind sharing some of the websites you looked at or some of the thought processes you went through?
I can't think of like the websites on the top of my head, but I remember I saw it. I'm always looking at the news. So if you're a big fan of the news, I remember seeing this article that was saying something about how online shopping had gone up by a crazy percent, right? And I remember seeing that, and it mentioned something about sub boxes in that article. And then I just started looking up subscription boxes. I'm like, what are subscription boxes? Like, what is this? And I just started Googling it, and it was absolutely huge. I found in the US and UK, and there was only some subscription boxes down here that were very like beauty. So beauty based, there's that Shavers Club one. So that's an absolutely huge one down in Australia. And I was like, it hasn't become super niche here yet. It's very mass market, the sub boxes right now. So I felt like I could get in right now early in a particular niche that I liked and roll with it. So yeah, it really came to that first article on the news where it was like, online shopping increased by percent because of the pandemic. People want more things delivered to them. Subscription boxes are going to make a huge impact. And it just kind of went on from there. So I'm always looking at the news, seeing what's going on in the market. And you can kind of subscribe to like News Plus on your Apple phone, right? So I'm always just kind of seeing what's happening in the world. And I think that's important.
Interesting. I always like to dig into those questions for the reasons being, I think, was there something or a thought pattern that you were having even before you saw the article, and then the articles popped up as the answer and that line stuck out to you as the answer?
Yeah.
Was there a process or a set of mantras or questions, or I don't know if you're religious, we're praying?
Yeah, I was definitely in that looking for something headspace, because I had read, have you heard of Rich Dad, Poor Dad? It's a really great book. And, you know, and I always was hearing like one of the ways to build wealth is you kind of need to start your own thing, right? And so me and Luke were already kind of in that headspace, like, yeah, we'd really like to start our own thing, but what do we start? Like we had nothing. So really my mind was open and kind of looking for things like that. It didn't just come to me straight away. I just told you that, like, I just saw that article and went, oh, okay. But yeah, I definitely was in that mindset of, okay, you know, I'm still young. That I've hearing that growing your own business is really one way to build your wealth and do another revenue stream, as well as that freedom. So I really wanted that freedom to work for myself. I'm sure a lot of people do, you know, because I didn't want to like build somebody else's dream, if you know what I mean, like, you know, working for somebody else, putting so many hours in for that, you know, person and little return. Whereas if you build something yourself, you know, I feel like you get more fulfillment out of it. But yeah, I was already definitely in that mindset and looking for something. And the fact that that jumped out of me, definitely, I think that was a kind of a mindset thing. And, you know, the law of attraction, the manifestation, it just happens if you're really thinking about it.
Yes, I believe that too. You get drawn towards the answers. Yes. The answers are all of a sudden there, even though you might have already seen an article that was similar. And yes, exactly. I've heard of that book. And you guys, your company rather, has great books. I notice them go out every month and I'm like, oh yes, I've read that one. Yep, read that one. That's a great one.
Oh,
so well, I'll make sure, guys, stick around. You need to get her subscription, Michelle's subscription links and everything. I'll make sure that they're somewhere near this audio or this video, wherever you're watching it. With yourself and your own journey, Michelle, what were some of the things that stuck out that you weren't expecting that might have been a little bit harder than what you expected? Because I come from a service speaking based business, which is very, I think, simple because there's no other small moving parts apart from an appointment time. Whereas what you're dealing with is a lot of project, a lot of products, a lot of small moving parts, a lot of technology as well. So yeah, I know you already had a technology background and you probably knew some of what to expect, but what were some of the things that, I guess, the bumps in the road that you hit that you didn't expect and what happened?
You have to be so organized with the sub box, and it's a lot of building relationships too with suppliers. And you know, I'm actually quite an introvert, so kind of having to like reach out to people was very nerve-wracking to me. And I think I had to get over rejection, which was a big thing, because when we first started, getting speakers was hard because we didn't really have an audience. So what was really in it for them? And I remember sending out, I'd say around like 50 emails, but it's really, you only need that one to get back to you. And I think it's just that, like, you just got to push sometimes and get over that rejection stage, you know, especially with a membership. I'm going to be honest, of course I have people cancel, right? And I remember having that first person cancel. And I was just like so sad because I was like, oh my gosh, I've done everything wrong. My product sucks, right? And Luke's just like, can you shut up? Because one person's canceled and there's 100 people still subscribed. It's fine. And I was like, okay. So I think it's just like, you know, getting over thinking things was a big hurdle I had to get over. And especially for me, I've got a good background in marketing, but the financial side, I'm absolutely terrible. And I'm lucky to have Luke to help me out. And that's the thing. There's a lot of things I've outsourced because I just didn't know how to do them. And I'm not afraid to say that I don't know how to do them. And I'm going to outsource this and get some help from it. So those were kind of things like, you know, what's worth putting money into. That was something I had to learn. Definitely the staying organized, the networking were all hurdles I had to jump over that I didn't expect I would, like, because I knew marketing. I didn't know any of the actual business strategy side and networking and being organized with the boxes each month, making sure you test out your products before you bulk order like 100. I remember bulk ordering 50 of these like notebooks, and they just, yeah, they were good. I remember that really vividly, going, why did I do that? Make sure I order some samples before I do that. So I've made a lot of mistakes, but it's good you make those mistakes because now you know not to do them next time.
Everything is learning, isn't it? And if we're not afraid to make, I mean, if we stay afraid to make a mistake, you can't learn.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we're only ever given a tick or a gold star or a mark if you get things right.
I know.
And I love the culture. I love the culture of let's get it wrong and you learn. It does look from an external perspective, because I like following your socials, that it has been a smooth ride.
Oh, no.
Like with everybody. But obviously it hasn't. What would you... Obviously, you've learned from everything. Is there anything that you would do differently if you were setting it up again?
Anything I would do differently? In terms of a kind of marketing component, like when I first started, you know, I had a lot of different options, like offers. So I didn't have just the box. I actually had like a mini version, and then I had the online version, and it was all on the one website, one page, and it was just really, really confusing, I think, for people going like, I'm seeing the box, but then there's all these other things, like, what is this? And I think that would actually turn people off, because it's just too much. So the minute I kind of streamlined it, I'm like, no, I'm just focusing on the box, because I wanted to try to cater to everybody, you know? And now I knew, like, okay, no, I think I should have at the start just focused on the box, focused marketing that. The website should have just been that. But yeah, you should have seen my website when I first started. It was like so many different offers. It was really like in your face, but that was because I was thinking, oh, I want to cater to everybody, you know, people who didn't read a book or people who didn't like stationery, who just wanted the book. Like even me talking about it now, it's like, oh my God, there were so many different things. So that was definitely one thing I would go back and start that over and just be a lot more simple with my business offer and streamline that offer an idea, because I did it in the beginning.
You can see, guys, that if you are subscribed to her membership in some way, shape or form, you're going to have a little bit of Michelle and the lessons, etc., rub off, right?
Yes.
And I know that you hire yourself out as a consultant for this, and I love when people hire themselves out as consultants for this stuff that are actually doing it or have done it. Say that they've done it, which is means a lot. So well done. Who are some of the key influences, if there are any, that you've learned from?
So number one I love is Sam Ovens. So I don't know if anybody's heard of him.
Oh, yes. Yep.
I just love his like philosophical kind of ideology on life and business. He's very much like back to the basics of business, solving a problem. He's into long sales copy. Like I really liked him. He definitely helped with mindset work as well and kind of just getting into the business basics. And then for the sub box side, I absolutely love this guy called Liam Brennan, and he does a dog subscription box, and he's got this amazing blog.
Wow.
That he does amazing articles. So he's been a really great influence for me in terms of my subscription box and like how the website should be laid out. He's got some great blogs. So if you're building a subscription box, he's great to look at as well. His name's Liam Brennan. He does a big dog subscription box in the UK called Buster Box. So he's been a massive, influence for me. So those two people, definitely key. And then I'm just trying to think, who else? I also love a lot of the books I read. So like Denise Duffield Thomas, when it comes to like money mindset, and kind of like, just, you know, I love her tone of voice. She's like, just get rid of the shit. This is what you need to do. I love that.
I often refer people to her books as well.
Yeah, I absolutely love her. So yeah, I'd say those, like, I have a lot though. Like I love Anita from Hero Packaging. She's got a great TikTok that is like online marketing. Yeah, I like to listen to a lot of people. Stu McLaren, oh my goodness, guys. Stu McLaren for membership. So he's a membership coach. He's got a great podcast about building a membership. So yeah, I learn from a lot of people.
Funny that, isn't it? It's amazing. And I also love your humility and your vulnerability that you can even talk about that. I like sharing other books and resources that I've learned from as well.
It's like... I don't know everything, and I'm always learning. I'm never, do you know what I mean? Like, I never know everything. You've got to keep learning, got to keep reading, listening to these podcasts, going to the masterclasses. I'm always trying to build my knowledge, because I think knowledge is really powerful.
I do too. But actually on that, I find that sometimes without people having the confidence to do it, thinking that they need to collect more knowledge, when they may have just already collected enough knowledge, there's a fine line between collecting too much knowledge and having paralysis from analysis, as you would know what that is. Mm. What do you think? I mean, all of our journeys are individual because of the level of confidence to execute and the speed with which we can make decisions. So I've noticed over the years as well has made a big difference. Right or wrong, it doesn't matter. There's momentum to change, even if it is the wrong decision. Sometimes there's been some doozies. What would you say are, that's if you can think off the top of your head, what would you say are some of the key questions for people to ask themselves from a business perspective, but also a mindset perspective when they're on this journey?
It's funny you say that about the decisions and how quick you can make them, because, you know, I've been on a lot of Q&A calls and it's just like they're not sure in that decision, and then it takes them forever to just, hey, like, even if it's like, should I make a design of my box or not have the design, what do I do? And it's been a month and I haven't made that decision. I definitely think from a business perspective, you got to think if you can just make the decision now, at least there's going to be an outcome out of it and you're not stagnant. You never want to be stagnant. So just, you know, just make the decision. It could be good or it could be bad. But like you said, it's okay to make those mistakes. You know, sometimes you actually maybe want to make some mistakes, right? All the big entrepreneurs, I agree, they don't take forever to make a decision. They're just like, okay, yeah, we got to go with that. I've looked at all the risks. Okay, it's time to make a decision. Boom. And there's actually a good book called Don't Overthink It by Anne Bogle. She talks about how to just stop overthinking and just make the decision because you want the outcome. You've got to think of the outcome. And the only way you're going to get there is make that decision. So 100% agree with you there. And in anything I do in my business, when it comes to strategic strategy, I always think, how is this going to benefit my audience and how is this fixing their problem? I'm always going back to that with anything I do. Like, you know, sometimes I've gone crazy and gone, oh, we should do this really cool thing. And then Luke will be like, but how, why should we do that? How is that helping our audience? I'm like, oh yeah, it's just a cool thing. It doesn't really help anybody. So I'm always going back to that. How does it fix a problem? How will it benefit my audience? And then in terms of the mindset, yes, make the decision because you don't want to be stagnant. You actually want to make progress in your business and for you, personal development for you. And you can't do that if you don't take that step forward.
Really good advice. It sounds like I wanted to help others define who Luke is. It's Luke, isn't it? And Luke's got an accounting background. No, you did introduce him, but most people, like, I don't have a Luke, although I guess because that's my partner's desk, I share the office, so he's kind of Luke, but I don't really ask him. I usually ask him after the fact, which is a little bit pointless, really, so because I take action then and ask questions later. But if Luke was a defined role, what would his role be? Because the energetics of the two lead roles in a business, have you read Rocket Fuel? It defines... It's a really interesting one. It defines leadership roles in a company and how there's often the sparky, energetic, excited ideas one, and then there's the other practical one that crosses the T's and dots the I's.
Yes.
Yeah, and so they're a really good energy to have. So what role would you give him if he had a title and people could associate that with something? What would your role be and his role be by comparison?
You know what? It's kind of like I'm definitely the creative marketer type. I love being on doing the videos. I love thinking of like the crazy ideas. Luke, who's my partner. He's definitely like, he does all the financial side. He's very like process, which is good for me because I'm just kind of jumping everywhere and everything like that. So he kind of is very CFO-y like. I don't know how to explain that, but yeah, very like down here and I'm up here, but we meet in the middle. Like sometimes he might be too like process and it's just like, let's just try and figure out the box a bit and just do it sometimes. And then he's like, okay, yeah, let's just do it. Like sometimes you go one way, sometimes you go the other, but then it goes back to those making decisions. But we always come to kind of an agreement and look at both sides. And I think that's why we make a good partnership. And I know not everybody has a Luke, and that's why it's important to join a group or a community that you can do that with, right? It's like a lot of the ladies in my group, their husbands might not be really into the business, but at least they can post in the Facebook group and get others' opinions and help them that way as well. So yeah, it's important, I think, that support network to kind of like bounce the ideas off and get other people's opinions and kind of different takes on an idea, because it's really interesting. Different people have different personalities and the way they go about things. And it's good to get the different perspectives. I quite like it. Just kind of gives me a different view of something, which I really appreciate from Luke's point of view.
We could have a whole nother conversation about what it's actually like to work with your partner. And I'm going to introduce you to a girlfriend of mine after this who runs a podcast for businesses that are partnerships as well in real life. She's really interesting business. Actually, I have a Luke, but her name is Mel, and she's been with me for 7 years. So yeah, I've usually run things past her before I go too crazy.
Yes.
Usually. And she's actually a former chartered accountant. So that's process.
Oh my goodness.
Thing as well.
Yeah.
Very much so. Yes.
It's funny how those,
my wife.
Yeah, those, I see it. Even in my last corporate job, it was two founders. And again, you've got that create more creative one and the more other one that's a bit more like he was at the desk doing the techie stuff. Like it's really funny how those two mash together.
Yeah. Janine Ellis.
Yes.
Or Ellis is often saying that about her partnership with her husband, only it's a strange, it looks strange from the outside because she's the process one and her husband's the outgoing networking one. Anyway, interesting part. She's really interesting to listen to as well. This is amazing. What would you say would be, because you're running a forum and you're teaching your people as well, who are the main, could you give us an average demographic or, I guess, life cycle of where these people are at in their business? So before I start asking you questions about them.
I'm finding most people who's part of the Aussie Biz Chick is either launching or they've been running their business for about 3 years. So they're still learning all the marketing. So very like in the beginning stages of building their business, because we're all in that kind of, all right, what do I need to read? What do I need to do? And I think that's where the support network is important, especially in the beginning stages. So I definitely say most of them are there in that kind of 3 year stage of running their business.
Great. And now, do you find that there's a common set of problems? I know everybody's different. Everyone tackles things differently. But do you find that there's a common set of problems or a common thread that you're answering? And what are those things? Can you give us any advice on that now?
Yes. The number one thing I always say is, which is not right, I don't think it's right, is how do I get more followers? Which I don't like hearing because I don't think that's a main thing anybody should be focusing on. But it's definitely kind of the marketing. How do I get more awareness for my business? And I always say it's not necessarily about followers. It never is, right? But people always wondering, how do I just get more people on my website? Or how do I get more people knowing about my business? So for me, I've been trying to do kind of getting people like Anita from Hero Packaging on doing a class around digital marketing using influencers. We had the founder of Bondi Blades talking about influencer marketing. And then for me, I just built one around Facebook ads. I'm a massive, huge Facebook ads fan. So I did a whole course on how to do your Facebook ads. And there's a lot of things like I love Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller about messaging. I love that book. And so I think that's important as well. And so, yeah, a lot of the things I'm seeing is how do I just get more followers? And it's just like, that's not always the main thing, but yeah, it's definitely that awareness. I think small businesses want to know, how do I just get more awareness for my brand? Because, you know, just starting an Instagram and just thinking you can post whatever, is not a strategy, right? And you can't just expect people to buy from you. So it's definitely the awareness, I'd say that comes up quite a lot.
That's interesting. I do want to ask more about the more followers because obviously you're good at growing your social media anyway. Your business is 100% digital. Is that correct?
No, it's a subscription box.
Oh, yes. So they order off, they order online, but then it gets delivered. It's not, you haven't actually gone done speaking gigs, obviously, because we've been in a pandemic. Sorry, that was leading into a question of, because lots of businesses, even in startup, even in digital, I find could still benefit from doing a little bit of face-to-face relationship building, for example.
Yes.
And I think when we go full 100% digital, we forget that there's a human on the other end of that thing. Like you were talking about, they're not just, you can buy followers. It's not about the numbers. It's about having a quality interaction.
Yes. And 100%, I'm actually a Business Chicks member and I'd love to go to the events, but obviously there's like no events right now. I do believe that your network can be your net worth. So yeah, I've like try and keep my relationship, especially with masterclass hosts, right? And the authors, you know, I'm trying to build those relationships, but I would absolutely 100% love to go to events. I'd even love to host an event, if we could have an Aussie Biz Chick event, I would absolutely love that, because I 100% agree, networking and knowing people is so important.
Amazing. There was a question I was going to ask you about real life versus digital. Oh, because you come from, you've got a digital marketing background, right? And then there's obviously differences between your role there and the projects you were working on in corporate versus solopreneur. Well, not really, there's two of you, but you're very small company and business now. What would you say are the main differences? And the reason for my question is, same, I've done a lot of learning in this space since being online for a while, or coming from personal training background of being online for a while. And I find that it loses the humanity in the relationship, and that people were taught more for them to be numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And also that the way corporates advertise with big budgets is a little bit different to the story brand type of thing.
Mm.
What have you noticed of the differences?
Yes, actually, that's the first thing that popped into my head. Corporate, you could just be like, I need $5,000 for ads, and yes, $5,000, cool. So it's definitely a lot easier to spend someone else's money than your own. So I definitely had a lot more budget, but I feel like in the corporate, at least the corporate world I was in, they did like to keep things really professional. So the videos were very professional, and it came from a company, not a person, which I think is where we're moving now. I feel like corporate should more be focusing on trying to maybe get like their salespeople to be more of the face of their company, right? Instead of trying to just be a logo. I don't think people... when I see professional ads now, very professional video, it kind of turns me off a bit, and I'm like, oh, this is an ad. Like, they're just trying to sell to me, which is what we were making in our corporate job, because that was like what they thought was good, right? And then when you come into like, and it's so different from kind of, that was an already established company, right? It was churning millions and millions of dollars, right? And it had an established brand and logo, but like building my own thing, it was so different because nobody knows about you. Nobody in the space knows about you. So you've got to build that trust, right? You've got to build that trust for your brand. Yes, you're spending your own money, so you're not spending as much money. So you've got to be really careful in terms of what channels you choose, make sure they're the right channel for you. It's not like you can just spend $10,000 on Google Ads, and if you got nothing, or what it's whatever, like we can try another thing. It's like, oh, bloody hell, when you do it yourself, it's like, that's a big to your soul that you've just lost that. So definitely that was a bit different, but so different building a small business and using yourself as your selling point, really, in building your personal brand. But I think it's good. I think corporate should be doing that with their salespeople or with somebody in the company. I think they should be doing that. I think it's more powerful.
I think it's really powerful as well. Yeah. I've noticed that some adopters have, you will see the CEO making a live video now, even though you can tell they need some practice, but it's so important. And I'm always saying this to smaller coaches, that because we're learning marketing, and it's like we're learning the strategies from 10 or 20 years ago that worked for corporate. But with us, it's more important to get a message to hit home, and you have to earn an income, and ethically, immediately. We don't have a 6-month budget usually to figure things out. What would you say would be, and I won't keep you too much longer, but what would you say would be some effective marketing tips? Because you do come across incredibly genuine, and I don't think that that can be taught. It's very brave.
Yeah.
And I know it is a method, but what would you say are some of your key marketing tips? Because I think it's more important for the 10 or the 100 or the 1,000 followers that you have to actually want to be there than it is to have numbers of followers, and for the message to resonate with them. That's more important than numbers, as we know.
Yeah. I mean, I just be myself, and I always try to be positive. Like, when you're talking on camera, like I always kind of be a little bit extra, but it's still me, And I always just try to be positive and vibrant because I feel the energy that when you watch somebody like that, it kind of rubs off on you. So I always just like to keep positive, especially when you're in this entrepreneur space. You don't want to be hearing like negativity all the time. And I'm happy to, you know, I've said like what mistakes I've done, but I always say in a positive way. It's like, oh man, I made this mistake and AusPost has delayed. I should have sent this email out to my customers saying AusPost is delayed. Do you want to do this? Oh, well, I know for next time. Like I'm always positive. So that's one way. And just be yourself, definitely. Like people know when people are fake. So just be yourself. And when it comes to marketing, always look at kind of like the marketing funnel. So we really want to try and have those channels working for where people are in their journey, learning about you. So we've got the awareness at the top. So we're driving people through, whether it be ads, through those how-to content, driving them through the funnel and getting them in the door. Then, you know, we nurture them through our email marketing, more of our testimonials, unboxings, right? And then we should funnel them through to the end where they become a customer. And we never want to leave our customers behind. I've seen so many people trying to focus on the top of the funnel all the time and they forget about their customers at the bottom. But they're the ones that are going to be championing you. They're going to be the repeat buyers. It's always easier to sell to an existing customer base that you've already had. So make sure you've got things all across the funnel because those people, your customers are going to bring people back up into the awareness. So look at the marketing funnel. Are you doing ads? You don't have to do ads, but I always like ads for the top of my funnel. You got your email marketing set up. And then in terms of, I think personal branding, especially right now, is so important because it can also open up different avenues. Like you were saying before, I've just started kind of coaching myself and I'm actually going to be building a subscription box course. And that's kind of another avenue now for me because I've built up a personal brand. So I think you shouldn't be afraid to just put yourself out there. And if you make a mistake, oh, well, you can learn from it. And also just being straight up, not everyone is going to like you. And that's okay because there's going to be a lot more people who do. And if somebody doesn't like you, you don't need them. Unfollow, they can unfollow. They don't need to buy from you. So if you're afraid of people not liking you, that's normal, but you're going to have so many people who do if you're just genuine and true to yourself and show up and they'll connect with you.
Actually, on that point, I guess what they could do if they're worried, really worried about launching and they have this idea and they need to launch and they need a front person like yourself that's not afraid to be themselves, that's learned how to not be afraid to be themselves, is they could always hire that other person. Mm-hmm. I have one more question about hiring, actually. What are some of the things that you've noticed that Luke can't do that perhaps you need to outsource yourself?
Yeah, I remember all the Google Analytics stuff because in my corporate role, I was more like doing the email marketing, the videos, and then we had people to set things up, like the Google Analytics. Like I had no idea. So Luke couldn't do that either. So yep, we outsourced that. And I like use Upwork. So I've used Upwork to do project type things. I've had my box design. I don't know how to use Illustrator. Like what? So I hired somebody to do my box design because I knew that would take me ages and I'm not good at it. So I just hired somebody to do that. We've hired an accountant. You know, I've had small businesses go, how do I do my own tax return? I'm just like, you're better off just going to an accountant. And even if Luke's an accountant, we still go to a small business accountant who actually knows their stuff. We've done that. And soon we're actually going to be hiring a VA to take some of the admin stuff out of my role out so I can focus more on the strategy. So I like kind of reading the books and getting the strategy. And then I go, okay, I can't implement that. I need somebody to implement that. So SEO, I've hired somebody to write blogs for me on a monthly basis because I don't have time to do that. So yeah, I've like outsourced a lot and it definitely speeds up the progress of my business. So it's worth the investment for me because I get it back really quick.
Well, we get time back, don't we? Yeah. And I think people are always scared. Oh, I have to pay this person that amount. I love Upwork as well. I found some fantastic people on there. We'll need to share that resource later.
I've outsourced my PR now as well. So I've got a lovely lady doing my PR and she's working for me on that in the background. Yeah, I actually probably could make a huge list of what I've outsourced.
Yes, I bet you could actually. It would be a good blog post.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting, you like the PR and the reaching out to people and the networking, you had to learn how to do that first. Yeah. Sometimes you need to have a go at things to realize how bad or how much you suck and it's just not going to be enjoyable. I find if something's really unenjoyable and I really dread doing it, I'm probably not going to do it. I need to hire someone.
That's so correct, because I was actually doing my own PR for a bit. I was trying to pitch. And I was like, man, I'm horrible at this because I hate pitching myself sometimes.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm just going to hire somebody to do this who probably who has connections in the media. And that's been a lifesaver, actually. It saved me so much time pitching. Because like I said in the beginning, I was sending out like 50, 60 emails. But now that we've grown, right, I can, just invest in like getting somebody to do that for me.
Oh, wow. It's in, how much, I have another question. How much time percentage wise would you say that you spend on the things that you're doing in your business? Like just roughly, for example, 10%, 20% packing the boxes, this amount of time doing admin, this amount marketing, video, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. So actually I don't pack boxes anymore. We've hired like two people to pack the boxes. So I don't do that anymore. That used to be a lot of time. That would be like, especially doing 400, that was like a week. Cause that's like, you got to make up the box. So they come flat packed and then you make the box. Then you have to pack everything, then the shipping labels. And that was just too much time. So I've gotten rid of that for me to do. So I'd say I do like, honestly, like 50% is video making, content creation that people know and like from me, that I know that I need to keep doing. Like you said, you like watching my videos. Yeah. That's something I enjoy. And then I'll like, honestly, the other percent, I've got like community engagement. So I'm always engaging in like my Facebook group, answering questions for my members. So maybe that's like, so marketing, I'd say 40%, making sure my members like engaging community management, maybe 30, 40%, maybe the other percent admin-y work, you know? So, but most of the time I'm finding now is I'm really sitting down and trying to look at the strategy and like, where do I see the business in 3 years? What do I need to do and project manage it? And then work out, okay, this needs to be done here. Do I need to hire somebody for this bit of this project, right? What do I need to do here? So like, I feel like once you get bigger, it's more about you making the decisions and working on the business, not in the business, because then you won't be able to grow the business. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Total sense. And it was all very clear, even though I know when sometimes when you're speaking, you think, did I?
Am I rambling here?
No, not at all. Ramble more. It's good. And I think it helps people just move through things with clarity. Yeah, you're being really clear. Are there any words that you have for anybody that's not only going through this hard time now and changing? And also I want to say, one, thank you for your time, but also that how, because I know what an enormous job it is to wear so many different hats in your business, but to go from doing none of that to, I might do this thing over here, it sounds like a good idea, to doing this and thriving and surviving. I know it would have been a hard, massive personal growth year. So well done, because behind the scenes, even aside from the box, you don't know how many people you are actually inspiring, including all the work colleagues told you probably not to do it. So good on you for not listening to them and just being an awesome human. Is there any other awesome human tips that you have for us before I let you go and enjoy your Freedom Day in Melbourne?
Yes, tips. I think honestly, the one thing I would say is when you have a service or product, it's really about fixing the problems and you being that solution. You know, you're kind of the go-to to help this person out. You know, I always say it's never about selling a product. It's about selling the outcome. And that's really stuck with me. And I think that's the building blocks of a business. And sometimes you don't have to have the fanciest things. You don't have to have the fanciest website or the fanciest Instagram feed. If you're providing value, it's a no-brainer for somebody to want to check you out and learn more about you. And then I think the other thing that I never used to talk about was that mindset thing, because I feel like I'm quite confident and I can make decisions. But when I've come online and talking to people and being in this space, I find that a lot of people are really scared or really timid. And it really is just try and believe in yourself. You know, you have a good product and service. And it's so hard for me to just say, just do it, just do it. I know there's a lot of, you know, kind of internal things we need to get over, but just believe in yourself. You've got a great, you know, you've got a great product or service. You just got to go with it and definitely have that support network to push you. If it's a coach, if it's a community, you do what's best for you, right? But yeah, I can't stress that enough. Mindset is so important, because if you don't believe in yourself, how are you going to believe in your business and growing it?
And I find the beginning stages as well, it's like whenever I'm talking to one of my clients and they might have just started a new niche or a new project, even though they might have been in it for a decade already, it's just slightly different. They feel like they don't know anything. And then sometimes if they tell two or three people that are close to them and those two or three people don't agree or they have a different piece of advice, it's like this flimsy little tree that just gets blown over. So I often, one of the things I say is don't tell too many people until the foundations are built and it's not blow overable at all.
Yeah. And yeah, that is like, you have to surround yourself with the right people that are going to lift you up. Because like I said, like people maybe that's in a corporate role, they don't understand your mindset and what your vision is. Whereas I feel like if you came to UK or me, like we know that, yes, there is something there in growing your own business. And these are all the things you can do. And we're not going to be like freaking pushing you down and giving you like, I just really hate it when I see people put somebody down for starting a business. It really grinds me. Like it really annoys me, because it's like, why would you say that to somebody? You know, I just don't like those negative people. So stick with the positive people.
Yes. Anything, even if it's not the right solution, there is always a solution.
Yes.
Isn't there? It is solution orientated people, but you can't, I don't think you can work for yourself unless you can decide to be solution orientated. That's a big decision. Where can everybody, one, find your stuff? Do you have any? I know you just launched a shop as well. Can you tell us about your products and services and offers and where people can find you?
Yes. So you can find me, well, you can find me on Instagram at Aussie Biz Chick, no K. So it's B-I-C for
how do we spell it? H-I-C.
So it's Aussie, A-U-S-S-I-E, B-I-Z-C-H-I-C. And the website is .com.au. And yeah, and I'm on there. You can find me on Instagram. Even if you don't want to subscribe to my box, just follow me on Instagram for like tips and tricks and a lot of behind the scenes as well on growing a business. But this next month we're doing business strategy is the theme. And we've got the amazing Angela Henderson coming in and doing like a 2-hour workshop, strategy workshop. And we got a Donald Miller book, Business Made Simple. So that's a really good book. And then we got some fun stationery items too. So that's aussiebizchick.com.au.
Amazing. Thank you so much, guys. And I'll make sure that all of Michelle's links and deals are near this audio or the video, wherever you're listening to us from. And thank you so much again for your time today, especially considering it happens to be on your first day of freedom in Melbourne. Thank you so much again for your time.
And thank you for inviting me to do this. I had so much fun.
My pleasure. It's a really important message. Guys, feel free to reach out and ask Michelle questions. She's also really approachable and has a lot of help that she can give you.